eve of Good Friday, the night of the Long Athams. Charles Sublunar, Religions of 100 Worlds. Dom lay on his bed, reading a long, rambling letter from Kajar. She was glad to hear that he was better. Life on Laoth was quite pleasant, and there would be a state visit to Earth soon, and she had seen snow for the first time, and enclosed a refrigerated cube in which several snowflakes were preserved. And dear Ptarmigan had built her a garden that Dom really ought to see. Isaac slipped in on well-oiled feet. "Well, there's guards all over the place, Bas. I can't find that Geki frog anywhere." "That's shape-hatred talk, Isaac." "Sorry, Chief. The cook says he's left the domes and moved down to the Baruku." Dom buckled on his grav sandals. "We're going to fetch him. He's the only one round here that knows more than three facts about the Jokers. And then I kind of think we're going to look for the Joker's world." The robot nodded impassively. "Well, aren't you going to ask why?" "Up to you, boss." "It's just as well. It seems I've got to fulfil a prediction. I've been pretty bad at fulfilling them lately. I think I will find one or two answers on the way. You know about the third attempt to kill me?"
"Oh, yes, and all the others."
Dom froze. He looked up from stuffing clothing into a back pouch and spoke slowly. "How many others?" Isaac hummed.
"A total of 7. There was the poisoned food in a hospital, the meteorite that just missed the power plant, 2 attacks on the flyer that brought you here, and another artificial black hole. That turned up in the hospital. You were still in the tank then."
"They all failed. By luck only, Chief. The hospital food, I think you didn't eat it, but one of the cooks did. The meteorite..."
"Odd attempts. Inefficient, too."
He thought for a moment, and then packed the memory sword that Corridor had given him. As he turned, his eye caught the pink cube resting on the cube case. Hershuggen's Joker thesis. He packed it. "I'm not safe here, that's for sure. We leave now, while it's still night. If you try and fly, you'll fry. Sam Heddy's got the force screens up around the walls. We could try walking out. You'll have to order me to use necessary force, though."
"Right," said Dom.
"In full, please. If the fuzz get me afterwards, it'll all be down on my recorders. Can't disassemble a robot for obeying orders. 11th Law of Robotics, Clause C, as amended," said the robot firmly. "Then get me out of here using no more force than is necessary." The robot walked over to the door and called in the security man who was standing guard down the corridor. Then he poleaxed him.
"Not bad," he said. "Enough to stun, but not enough to shatter. Let's split, boss."
The Baruku was built on the outskirts of the city, where the dry land sloped towards the marsh. It looked like a field of mushrooms under a grey dome. Each mushroom was a reed-woven rath, some of them several times larger than a human geodome. The grey dome was the low-degree force screen, just powerful enough to keep the atmosphere within damp and still. It was polarised, too, so that the light that filtered through was dim and subterranean. Inside, the air was warm, clammy, and smelled of decay. Dom felt that if he breathed deeply, horrible moulds would sprout in his lungs. It was what 10,000 Phnobes called home. Towards the centre of the colony, the Wraths huddled together in a fungal township riddled with alleyways and sprouting several distressingly organic-looking towers and civic buildings. Shops were still open, though it was well past midnight. They mostly sold badly dried fungi, fish, or second-hand cubes. From some of the larger Wraths, bulbous as fermenting pumpkins, came snatches of haunting chlong music. And all around Dom, Phnobes filled the streets. In a purely human environment, a solitary Phnobe looked either pathetic or disgusting, from its goggled eyes to the slap of its damp feet on the floor. In the Wrath, they loomed like ghosts, self-assured and frightening. Most of the alpha males carried long double-bladed daggers, and any visitor with a concealed inclination towards shape-hatred ended up walking with his back pressed firmly against a comfortingly solid wall. At one point, they had to press into the crowd as a wickerwork delivery truck trundled by. It stank. It was powered by a ceramic engine fueled with fish oil. And the air was filled with hissing, a susurration like the wind, the sound of phonobic speech.